So take a look at these. This list is just one perspective of many. Whether you have or have not taken these pharmaceuticals will help you develop a better perspective on whether you are low in B12 and perhaps why. This may be a call for you to look more deeply into your diet and lifestyle and enjoy some deeply deserved transformation in your life. If you have not or are not taking any of these, great. This is just a reference and a reminder to employ excellent life practices that protect and improve your health so that the need for these drugs is decreased and hopefully eliminated. If you have or do use any of these, okay, you're on a journey. That's why you're reading this course and doing the best things possible for your health now. Not only these drugs, but the diet, lifestyle, and health challenges associated with taking these drugs will all lower B12 levels. So this is an excellent lens for you on whether or not you are low in B12 and the insights you can gain, such as what you can do to reduce or eliminate your need for pharmaceuticals, will be valuable to you as you chart your path to better health. The list of pharmaceuticals that limit B12. Categories of drugs that can diminish the body's supply of vitamin B12 include antibiotics, anti-cancer medications, anticonvulsants, anti-gout medications, antihypertensives, anti-Parkinson's medications, antipsychotics, anti-tuberculosis medications, birth control pills, cholesterol-lowering drugs, and potassium replacements. Examples of specific medications in each category are listed below in the course book. So you've got all those categories, and then I've actually listed out, and we won't go over them right now, the names of the medications. So if you're on a pharmaceutical, do consult this list. The other thing that you might do is put the name of your pharmaceutical into a Google search and type B12 after it and see if a B12 deficiency link comes up for it. Antacids in B12 deficiency. Researchers at the University of Colorado School of Pharmacy warn that prolonged use of acid-suppressing drugs, such as Tagamet, Zantac, and Losec, can lead to a serious vitamin B12 deficiency. They cite a case of a 78-year-old non-vegetarian white woman with gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD, or acid reflux disease, who'd been taking cimetidine or ranitidine for 4.5 years. She was started in February of 1990 on the pharmaceutical drug, which was then changed to another drug in April 1993. Her vitamin B12 level was normal, about 413, which is close to that 550 level that the Japanese had, in August of 1992. So her level was normal in August of 92, but by June of 94, it had decreased to 256. Which is about half what the Japanese, less than half of what the Japanese say it should be. And her homocysteine level had increased dramatically to 27.3, and the normal range is about 3 to 12. Note, a homocysteine level above about 10 vastly increases the risk of heart disease and stroke. The patient was started on 1,000 micrograms a day of sublingual, meaning under the tongue, sublingual vitamin B12 supplementation, and by November of 94, her level was back up to 517, and her homocysteine level was down to 20.3, which is better, but still not perfect. Further improvements were observed in March 1998, when her B12 level was up to 629, and her homocysteine was down to 13.9, which is near the normal range. The researchers point out that other studies have shown that pharmaceutical drugs, such as the one she was on, also lower vitamin B12 levels and conclude that older people on long-term acid-suppressing drugs should be monitored for vitamin B12 deficiency and supplement if necessary. Diabetes drug that was linked with vitamin B12 deficiency. A Wisconsin doctor reports a case of a 63-year-old man who developed a severe vitamin B12 deficiency after having taken metformin, or glucophage, for 5 years. Replacing the metformin with sulfonylurea and taking 1,000 milligrams of vitamin B12 for 2 months reversed the deficiency. So there you go. You take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin B12 for 2 months and reverse the deficiency. Dr. Mary Gilligan estimates that 10 to 30% of patients on metformin develop a vitamin B12 deficiency. Does cooking destroy vitamin B12 levels in foods? This is the last thing that we're going to look at before we head into our next chapter, view number two, a second look. B12 deficient? Take this test. So before we do, let's just take a look at cooking really quick, particularly because a lot of the people that are in the community who are reading my work or consulting my work do care a lot about not cooking their food any more than necessary or not cooking it at all and want to know, does cooking destroy your vitamin B12 levels? There are just a few studies on this question, and the jury's still out. I've been an educated advocate in the raw vegan community for years, and the topic is important to cover. The small sample of data we do have suggests that B12 levels are reduced by heat, but how much is unclear. All of this data on B12 levels is in animal products. More study needs to be done, but here's what we have. The researcher Herbert reports that dehydration at 392 degrees Fahrenheit for 6 days reduced B12 levels by approximately a third. The temperatures for this study are way over normal dehydration or cooking temperatures. Two studies out of India report a wide variation in B12 losses in cooking various types of fish, meat, and milk. B12 losses, when they occurred, ranged from 23.7% to 96%. However, one fish species in their study showed no loss of B12, and samples from three fish species and also goat liver showed increases in B12 levels from cooking. The authors suggest that the increase may be caused by cooking increasing the B12 level in the extraction solvent. So it was just kind of a lab thing that actually increased the B12. The result that B12 levels for some species increased via cooking, of course, raises questions regarding the overall reliability of their methods and results, I think. Also, their study measured B12 via microbial assay, which today is regarded as a less reliable assay method. It doesn't distinguish between analog or junk B12 from the true human active B12. The researchers also tested 20 types of plant foods, and no B12 activity was found in any of the raw plant foods. Another researcher in 1966 reported that liver boiled in water for 5 minutes lost only about 8% of its vitamin B12 content versus raw liver, while muscle meat broiled at 340 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about what you'd broil meat at, for 45 minutes, it's reasonable, lost about 27% of its vitamin B12 versus the raw meat, which wasn't cooked. They note that some of the B12 they record as lost might actually be contained in the drippings from the cooking, so there might not have even been a 27% loss. Again, we have no data on the cooking of plant foods and the loss of B12, but what we do know from our information in this course and all the research is that plant foods don't provide sufficient quantities of human active B12, cooked or not cooked. So the point is somewhat irrelevant. We're going to take care of our B12 needs in a way that guarantees good, healthy levels no matter what diet we eat. Vegetarian, vegan, raw vegan, or omnivorous. So coming up next, view number two, taking a second look. B12 deficient? You don't know? Take this test. You can print the test results and take it to your health professional. So when we come back, we'll get hooked up with that. I'll see you in just a minute.